It's time for the Fantasy Football Guys.
Both.
With fantasy football knowledge so fat, it makes your mama look skinny. Here they are, Lyle Conkeel and Kevin Moore, the Fantasy Football Guys.
Yep, that's right. We're the Fantasy Football Guys. I'm Kevin.
I'm Lyle.
And it is Superb Owl Week.
It is.
Here at the show.
Yeah.
And you know, this is usually a pretty fun week for us because it's really our last preview show of the season.
Yep. We do one more talking about the result of the game.
Right. We talk about, you know, other things coming up for the offseason, et cetera. But this one is extra special for Lyle and me.
Yeah.
Because
Lyle and I.
Actually, Lyle and me.
It's Lyle and I.
No, it's not.
Oh, that would be Lyle and me. Special for me, special for Lyle. Okay, yeah. You're right. Don't shake your head.
Doubt me, man, when it comes to grammar. Barely speak.
Well, I'm constantly correcting my kids because they're always like, yeah, me and Trevor are going somewhere. I'm like, no. No. When you say you're going somewhere, do you go, me going out?
Are you wrong with them like you were with me?
Cause no,
you might
that's
be,
correct.
You might be teaching your kids the wrong stuff.
I am not.
Maybe I need to come over, dude.
I'm not teaching. Those of you who are playing along at home, I just threw a pencil at Kevin.
That could have hit me in the eye.
It could have. It's incredibly dull. It would have been irritating.
Of course, I would have had to shatter my glasses, which would have been even more disappointing.
Right. Anyway, boy, this is getting off to a good start.
It always does. So, we're looking forward to the big game on Sunday.
I think so.
Or as they say in Southern Delaware, Sunday.
Sunday.
Super Sunday.
Super Sunday.
So it's been the longest week ever. I mean, the week right after the championship game was pretty long, but we were still riding that wave.
That high.
Yeah. So then you get to the weekend and you're like, oh, it's the Pro Bowl?
Yeah. I didn't watch the snap.
I had it on, but I was reading.
You always do. You always have it on. I don't even bother.
Well, I'm sitting there. What else am I going to put on? Golf?
I played PUBG all day.
Well, my number didn't ring.
I mean, you know, mine didn't either.
Actually, I'm glad you're, I wasn't playing PUBG. But if you called me and go, PUBG, I'd have been, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're back from your trip because now we can rock some PUBG.
Yeah.
I got a few top tens as a solo, which is kind of difficult.
It is hard.
I got to number 3 yesterday, and it was like the circle was like a tree.
Super small.
Yeah.
You basically just have to lay there and hope nobody sees you.
Yeah, and so then,
the second you fire a weapon, you're
letting
everybody know.
And
where
then
you
the
are.
circle decreased one more time, and I was outside the circle, and I was crawling to the tree where everybody else was because it was literally the smallest I've ever seen it. And I just, blah, 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 and I called a headshot, and I was number 3. I was like, ah.
Yep, that's how it goes.
Yeah. Anyway, enough about PUBG.
Yeah.
So, great things going on this week with the Superb Owl. Obviously, the Eagles are in it, and they're a 4.5-point underdog, which is kind of how the Eagles like it, apparently.
I guess.
They play from behind well.
Yep.
So, we'll talk about the game with Liz Losa coming up here in 15 minutes or so. We have a couple other things to get to.
We do.
Probably the biggest news of the week, which just kind of caught everybody by surprise, was the trade of Alex Smith to the Redskins. Now, this does two things. There was some curiosity about whether or not the Redskins are going to let Kirk Cousins go.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anybody was really surprised to see Alex Smith traded away from the Chiefs. We kind of knew that was going to happen.
Well, you figure they got to get something for him. I mean, Mahomes is the future of the organization,
right? Yeah.
Quote, unquote, supposedly.
And he played well when he did play the last game of the season.
Everybody
kind of thought that maybe Alex Smith was gone. Curious that he goes to the Redskins.
That's interesting. I really don't – listen, Alex Smith's a good quarterback, okay? I don't know what the hell the Redskins are doing, though. They already have a good quarterback. Why do they not like Kirk Cousins? Why do they not like him?
That's the thing that gets me is, like, is he an ass in the locker room? Do his teammates not trust him? Is there something personality-wise that makes him not a good fit for the organization?
There's got to be something there, man. Because, I mean, his statistics are good. I mean,
numbers are good.
He's a capable quarterback. And I think in the right situation, he could be a very, very good quarterback.
I think he's going to have the opportunity to find that right situation.
Well, we'll see.
Whether or not he chooses the right spot. But, dude, look at it this way.
Cleveland, not the right situation.
Well,
maybe, though. They got good receivers there.
We'll talk about the Redskins here in a minute, but let's talk about where Kirk Cousins could go. Look at all the decent situations where he could land. Broncos, pretty good defense, really good receivers.
Yeah, that'd be a good situation.
You know, so Broncos would be good.
Yeah.
You know, he could probably walk right in, and if the scheme is a good fit for his skills and yada, 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 and the management, he's got good quarterback coaches, et cetera, maybe that would work out well. Another place is, dude, Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Now, they have a good running game. The receivers, if Robinson comes back all the way, then, you know, they might be okay. And they have a really good defense, and they got, you know, one game away from the Super Bowl. So
they did.
You know, maybe that's a good stop. Now, who knows whether they're going to stick with Bortles or not. Then you've got a place like Arizona, which, you know, starting with the new coach, they're not quite starting over again, but they're closer than the other two teams we've talked about.
Well, you're closer to starting over. You're
saying. Yeah, because you have a new coach. It's a whole new system, all that kind of stuff, right?
Yep.
So then what other teams do you think, you know, are in the spot to need him? Buffalo, maybe?
I don't know. Buffalo, maybe.
Buffalo could move on from Tyrod.
That's a possibility, although I don't know. That seems far less likely to me.
Yeah, you know, and nothing against people in Buffalo, but if you have the choice between Denver, Arizona, Jacksonville, and Buffalo, just the weather alone would drive you to Florida or Arizona. Anyway, so and then you look at a place like, and I the only reason I say this is because Adam Thielen said it the other night when he was on stage, on set. They have three quarterbacks there, and he was saying, oh, you know, if any of those guys stay, it would be fantastic. Of course, he's got to say that.
Right.
But he said, but you know what? There's another guy that's going to be out there, Kirk Cousins. He'd be a good fit, too.
Yeah.
Minnesota?
Maybe. They have three starting quarterbacks, though. I mean, they don't really need to go after. They got to the NFC Championship game with freaking.
With Keenum.
Keenum. So they don't need a Kirk Cousins. That money can be spent elsewhere. They got Dalvin Cook coming back, who's going to be a monster.
I would think that they would choose from the three they have,
right,
as opposed to bring a guy in who has to learn the system. Agreed. But if they figure that that guy who they could bring in is that much better than the three guys they have, which, you know, I don't know that that's the case.
I don't either, but I don't know. It would be interesting to see. I mean, I just, like I said, I just don't want to see him
go to Cleveland.
just rust.
Well, you know, the thing is they have a bunch of draft picks and they have a new general manager who is respected. So if he can make the right choices, if they could pull in, you know, if they get take Saquon Barkley with the first pick,
right,
and they get a young quarterback to take. Well, of course, if they go for Cousins, they're not going to take that quarterback. So, you know, obviously that is going to be decided by the draft. But if they don't get Cousins, you know, they get Saquon Barkley with the first pick, which would be rare, and then you get, you know, Baker Mayfield, or you get Josh Rosen. There's a ton of quarterbacks out there that are start worthy. Sam Darnold, you know, you lock down that kick ass running back.
Yep.
Then you get the quarterback that you like that's left, because you know that the Colts aren't going to take a quarterback, right?
Probably not.
Yep. No, they may trade out of that spot, but so you're going to get a quarterback that you like more than likely.
Mm-hmm.
So you get the best running back and one of the top three quarterbacks in the in the draft.
I like it.
Why not?
Yeah.
You can't wait. You know, if Barkley is available there for the Colts,
you got to take him.
They're going to take him.
Yeah.
You got to take Barkley first.
Yeah, I agree with that.
If
I don't
you
know.
Want it.
I just have very little faith in that organization to do the right thing ever. They'll probably trade out.
Well, yeah, they'll trade out and not take a quarterback. You know, you have to hope at some point somebody's the right fit at that GM spot.
Yeah, you'd think, but they've been doing it for decades now.
It hasn't been good so far, so we'll see.
So
back to the Redskins, you know, and they're part of the trade. Usually when you make a trade like this to get a guy, you're really trying to make a vast improvement. So you've got, like the Niners did when they got Garoppolo.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't give up much for him. They gave up a second-round pick.
Right.
In retrospect, he was worth a first, but, you know, and he probably could have garnered a first from maybe Cleveland.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Again, I don't know that the Cleveland Browns would be smart enough to do that, but
again,
okay.
But from what, you know, all the indications are is that, you know, the Cleveland was really interested and they had the capital to get him.
Sure.
So, you know, you look at that, you go, okay, the Niners really improved their lot in life with that second-round pick.
Big time.
Right. Did the Redskins really improve? You're talking about a 33-year-old guy versus a 29-year-old guy. So you're giving up 4 years
four
there.
Years.
Is Alex Smith that much better? Is he better at all than Kirk Cousins? Or is he that much better if he is better? Did they really improve that much with this trade?
They didn't.
So why the hell did they make it?
At best, it's a sideways move for me. They made it because they need a quarterback, and they don't want that person to be Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, I guess.
They made that abundantly clear. They were like, we don't want Kirk Cousins. I don't understand why, but clearly they don't.
Maybe it will be made clear when Kirk Cousins lands somewhere else and maybe. People are like, oh.
Yeah, maybe he's just a dick.
maybe he is.
You know?
All right, so, you know, we're kind of interested to see where that goes, obviously, because, you know, the Redskins play the Eagles twice
NFC
a year.
A little bit. I saw a really cool tweet. Some dude was like, Eagles headed to the Super Bowl. Redskins just traded for Alex Smith. Giants hired Pat Shermer. Dallas Cowboys, and it was a tweet from them, and they tweeted a picture of all, like, a bunch of different pictures of their punter. They're like, check out all these great moments from our punter this year.
Wow.
It was like, yeah, guys, great.
Not something you really want to be proud of.
Way to move forward.
All right, so one other thing that's happening this weekend, which is pretty big in the world of football, is the fact that the class of 2018 is going to be announced.
Yeah.
And that's happening in the big event they have on Saturday. Mm-hmm. So here's who's in the class, who's made the cut to the, you know, like the final cut. You got our boy Brian Dawkins.
Yep.
You got Ray Lewis. You got Randy Moss. You got Tony Boselli, Everson Walls, right? And you've got Ty Law, Edge James, Terrell Owens, Alan Faneca, Steve Hutchinson, Isaac Bruce, Brian Urlacher, John Lynch, Kevin Mawai, and Joe Jacoby.
Yeah.
And I think you have a contributor candidate, Bobby Bethard, I think, is in there. And a couple senior, Jerry Kramer, who I'd really like to see get in there, and Robert Brazil. Those are the senior contribution dudes.
Right.
Jerry Kramer, of course, I think he was a guard on the Packers teams. If you watch the Ice Bowl game, when Starr kind of carries the ball in, you see the guy, the lineman raise his hands up for a touchdown. That's Jerry him? Kramer.
Yeah. Wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so that's kind of a cool moment for him. But he was awesome, you know.
Right.
And he's just been kind of washed away in the sands of time. A lot of those Packers, of course.
I like the fact that they added that whole... You know,
the old guy class.
Yeah, there should be.
Well, yeah, because, you know, time passes by and these guys kind of get washed out. And...
Yeah, and also people tend to forget because the game changes so much that you know, their numbers or their performance at that time wouldn't be on par with somebody of this era.
Maybe. Right. If you look at quarterbacks and receivers,
particularly in quarterbacks and receivers, right.
But you know, you look at the running game and it's stacked more to their favor.
But you got to think about the time. And, of course, that whole could the story of the NFL be told without these people? And, I mean, it cannot be told without the Green Bay Packers.
It can't. But can it be told without Jerry Kramer?
Maybe. But, again, I mean, those are huge moments. And,
right. And, you know, he's been a very, not vocal, but, you know, you look at a lot of the old tapes and guys talking about Vince Lombardi. He's one of those guys. He's like a face of the Packers from that era, but he's not in the Hall of Fame.
Right.
So
right.
if he squeaks in, you know, that would be fine by me.
Me too.
Now, looking at the other guys, obviously we both want Brian Dawkins to get in there, and we think he deserves it. And not just because he was
an
Eagle.
Well, he missed out last year, right?
This is his second year.
He was eligible last year, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, he's got to get a nod, dude.
Now, see, after this, you start getting into the Troy Polamalu's, and you start getting into the who was the guy from the Ravens?
Ed Reed.
Yeah. These guys are going to start popping up, and then you start comparing one to the other, and you go, well, this guy did that, and that guy has Super Bowl rings, and this guy doesn't. And then you start, okay, then maybe Brian falls into, you know, one of those categories where 10, 15 years from now, he's in
that's
the old guy
category.
That's
what keeps happening to Steve Atwater.
Yeah, yeah, it's the same thing.
Yep.
To me, Ray Lewis and Randy Moss are both first ballot.
They're 100% in.
You know, so a lot of people are going, we think T.O. should get in before Randy.
No.
You know what? No. T.O.'s got the numbers, second in receiving yards, or third in receiving yards and second in touchdowns. So numbers-wise, he gets in. But the bad taste he leaves in everybody's mouth.
And the other thing that people forget, I think, and I'm not saying T.O. wasn't wildly successful in the NFL. He was. But T.O. was not a superstar after he left the Eagles. People just kind of hated it.
I think when he went to Dallas, he was still a superstar. Mm-mm. After that, he
was a star. But he was in Dallas, and sort of everybody hated him, unless you were a Dallas Cowboys fan, Moss was just wildly dominant, and he was a superstar.
Bill Parcells called T.O. the player.
The player. Gotta love it, man.
You know he didn't want him.
Yeah.
Jared brought him.
I know.
Yeah. So anyway, to me, Randy Moss, you know, you're talking about, can you tell the story of the NFL? No, you can't. Randy Moss is just one of those guys who
from the
lit the league up.
He was available to be drafted. Because remember, people were like, you know, he's not going to do that much, and you know,
he's a distraction. He off the field,
off the field issues. But the second he touched that football field, he was just uncoverable.
He was.
He was uncoverable. Like you said, your boys still play a game called Moss.
Right.
Where you throw the ball up and then, you know, people jump to try to get it.
That's Moss. Let's play Moss.
That's what he did.
So then you got Bocelli, who's an offensive tackle.
I think
tackle.
He's probably in too.
Probably. I mean, it's tough to quantify the impact of offensive linemen.
It is.
Because basically, you know, if the team is running good on offense, it's because of the line. You know, take those guys out and see how well you do, you know, you know, in every case, really. Everson Wall is a cornerback. You know, he's one of those guys who I think, you know, is pretty much slated to get in.
Eventually. I don't know if it'll be this year. Again, there's a lot of big names on that list. I mean, you know, you put him up against Ty Law and you go, you know, but yeah, I mean, eventually he'll get in. You know, I feel bad for people like Isaac Bruce. I'm just like, man, when is he going to get it? Because I think he deserves to be in. He's part of the greatest show on turf, man.
Yeah, it's one of those things. You know, you're talking about receivers. Like, does he have a quote-unquote signature catch? Moss has
dozens
of them.
Yeah.
T.O. has a lot of them as well.
Yes. Owens.
Right, the one in San Francisco when, you know, he was crying on the sideline. Yeah, it was all that. Isaac Bruce has the biggest catch in Super Bowl 34.
Right.
You know, that kind of blew that game wide open. So Isaac Bruce, I think, has the creds. He's just not getting in.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, if a receiver gets in this year, I mean, other than Moss, it's probably Owens because he's got the numbers.
He does.
So you got to look at Isaac Bruce and go, eh.
Isaac Bruce has the numbers, too. They're just not quite as showy.
They're just not as big.
Yards and TDs.
But then Bruce has, you know, a ring, and he was part of that. You know, massive change. I mean, people, the Rams were terrible. They were terrible.
They were.
For years. I mean, since they were in L.A. and they had Eric Dickerson and stuff, they were bad from that point until Kurt Warner. Really.
Well, until you know, Dick Vermeil and,
right.
You know, that whole situation.
Right. So, you know, you can't tell the story of the NFL without talking about that team. That was a giant shift. Remember, they went 4-0 in preseason, and people were talking about it, and they were like, come on.
Yeah, it's preseason.
Yeah, they lost their starting quarterbacks. No way this Warner guy's going to do anything, you know, blah, blah, blah. Dude, 5-6 games in the season, you're like, wait a minute now. You can't touch them. And their defense wasn't good. They just outscored you.
Yeah, they did.
They were just like, oh, we need to score 48? Okay. I mean, it was incredible. We had never seen a team that dominant in one aspect of the field. Yeah, I mean, we've seen team with good running games, and they had a pretty good running game.
With Marshall Faulk.
Marshall Faulk. Yeah,
he was okay. All right.
But not that dominant through the air. I mean, it was unseen.
And really, it kind of changed the blueprint for the whole Mike Martz offense.
Yeah.
Kind of changed the blueprint for what teams did in the future.
Yeah. I mean, you know, people forget, Warner's numbers were outrageous.
From game one,
yeah.
Really. You know, I remember that, you know, people were like, this is fantasy football we're talking about here.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone was like, Kurt Warner, who's this guy? You know, Marshall Faulk's numbers are going to drop, and Isaac Bruce's numbers are going to drop. And, dude, the clamor to pick that guy up after week one was crazy.
Yeah, dude. So, in 2001, he threw for 4,800 yards.
And how many touchdowns?
36. Yeah, he had 4,399 and 41 touchdowns. I mean, you know, we didn't see stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, you know, he had a rating of over 100 in both of those years. Looks like he got hurt the previous year, missed a couple games.
So his rookie year, he threw 4,800 yards.
Well,
and
his rookie year was technically 98. So he started one game. He was 4 of 11. But in 99, his second year, he started all 16 games. He was 325 for 499 for 4,353 yards, a 65% completion percentage, and 41 touchdowns. 41 TDs.
That's a lot.
That's kind of a lot, dude.
Right. It's you know, short of the record, to be sure, but probably at the time it wasn't.
He threw. Now, remember, they had the number one seed. He threw for over 1,000 yards in three games in the playoffs and 8 touchdowns.
Damn.
Yeah. kind of good, dude. He averaged 350 a game in the playoffs. Yeah, that's, I mean, you know. So, again, dude, Isaac Bruce, yeah, he's got to get a nod.
He's going to get it at some point. He's got to get a nod. I don't know that it's going to be this year. And he may be one of those guys that just, he's not the best guy at his position any single year. Because how long did it take for, who was that Buffalo Bill receiver who finally got in? Was it Andre Reed?
Reed, yes.
It took him forever. And he finally got in, like, in his 10th season of being eligible.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a feeling Isaac is going to fall to that as well.
Well, you know, I hate to see that. But, I mean, let's see. He's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 seasons over 1,000 yards. In 99, he had 1,100. In his second year, he had almost 1,800 yards and 13 touchdowns, dude.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah, they're pretty good numbers, man. So...
Now, switching gears, I've seen a couple different people going, Brian Urlacher was a better linebacker than Ray Lewis, and he'll get in front of Ray Lewis.
No.
Don't think so. No.
Yeah, listen, Brian Urlacher was an extremely good linebacker.
And he'll get in.
I think he deserves to be in the Hall.
But he's not a first ballot guy.
Nope. And I don't think he was better than Ray Lewis.
No.
Ray Lewis was a dominant force.
Well, that and the fact that Ray Lewis was very visible for his team. He was the face of that team.
He was the defensive leader.
Right. And
a team full of defensive leaders.
Right. And then you look at games, pregame, et cetera. You know, there he is, you know, in the middle of the crowd of football players, you know, giving the hype speech.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his dance that he did when he came out of the tunnel. You know, those things are all iconic NFL moments.
They sure are.
So you're not going to, like, say, well, we're going to put Urlacher in first.
Right.
No, he obviously gets in.
Yeah.
And then guys like John Lynch, Kevin Mawai, Joe Jacoby. You know, I think John Lynch is... This is his fifth time, dude. I don't know.
Great player.
He is. I don't know that he's going to get
in. I don't think he gets in this year.
He may not get in until like the mid-20s, man.
Yeah.
If he gets in at all.
He's got a ways to go.
So, and then like Joe Jacoby.
I mean, if you put him up, John Lynch versus Brian Dawkins, again, no offense, and I'm not taking anything away from John Lynch, but Dawkins was a better safety.
Yeah, absolutely.
So.
And they're not going to put two safeties in 1 year, so that's going to be a problem. So anyway, that's the Hall of Fame. They're going to announce that tomorrow night during their thing where they announce the MVP.
Yeah.
From what I understand, there's a Tom Brady acceptance speech somebody saw in somebody's pocket.
Yeah.
So the reason for that is Tom's going to have to record that acceptance for the MVP because he's not going to be able to do it live.
Right.
So he's going to have that recorded. So that's obvious.
Yeah, he's going to win it.
Yeah.
I can't think of anybody else who would win it.
I mean, you know, I can think of other guys who are, you know, who are good enough to be in there. You could say Russell Wilson.
Maybe.
You could say Carson Wentz. You know,
got hurt.
I don't know when they do the voting for this. But
I think the Eagles' run in the playoffs kind of hurts Carson Wentz.
Right, but if they did the voting last week, yes. Yeah. If they did the voting in week 16,
yeah.
Then no. Right. He shouldn't be hurt by it,
right.
You know.
I don't know when they do the voting either.
Yeah, I'm not sure. You know, they didn't get my vote, that's for sure.
Right.
And there's other, you know, some people saying Deshaun Watson, because without him, went 3-3.
Did he play six games?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'd like to see. Listen, that, you know, I look forward to his career, dude.
He had an opportunity, to be in the conversation had he not gotten hurt, but he got hurt.
Yeah, my.
He would have been rookie of the year, too.
Yeah, no doubt. If he'd continued, even if he fell off a bit, I think he would have been, you know, deep into that race.
Yeah. He's going to be a fun player to watch, man.
Indeed. Well, I was hoping Liz would be here by now, but she is not.
Yeah. Well, she'll call in here shortly, I would imagine.
And we look forward to that. In the meantime, that's not the one I want. Oh, yeah, it is. Damn it. How are your New Year's resolutions coming along?
Oh, that was last month, pal. Not even thinking about it.
Yeah, probably not. Well, if you resolve to save money this year, remember that Harry's can save you about $100 over the course of an entire year if you shave frequently.
Right, and if you also resolved to take better physical care of yourself, Harry's products have won a bunch of grooming awards, and they'll keep you looking and feeling great.
Either way, Harry's is all about a great shave at a great price.
Harry stripped out all the unnecessary features like vibrating handles, heated blades, 15 lubricating strips, etc., as well as the unnecessary cost to deliver a perfect razor at an amazing price.
So whether you like Harry's for the 5 German blades and single lubricating strip like me,
or that ergonomical handle like me,
Yeah, you can be like one of the 3 million guys, just like us two guys, that have switched to Harry's.
Harry's is so confident you're going to love their blades. They'll give you their free trial shave set when you sign up at harrys.com/FFguys. All you got to do is pay for shipping.
Your free trial set includes that weighted ergonomical handle that Lyle likes. You get that 5 precision engineered blade set that I like, and the lubricating strip and trimmer blade. It's all good. Rich lathering shave gel and a travel blade cover.
Just go to harrys.com/FFguys. That's harrys.com/FFGUYS.
All right. So we're going to have some conversation with Liz about what's going on.
Yeah, let's talk about the Super Bowl real quick.
All right.
You know, we kind of started talking about it a little bit before the show, and we decided to wait until we turned the mics on. This is how I feel about it this year. You know, back in the day, let's say that in the 2000s, the Eagles were the dominant team in the NFC.
Yeah.
They were expected to win. There was a lot of pressure on them, and I expected them to win.
Well, they hosted. They went to four straight NFC championship games. Yes. and hosted two or three of them.
Two or three, yeah, I don't remember. But they were expected to win, and I expected them to win. I do not expect them to win on Sunday.
No.
It's okay with me if their run ends up, you know, a yard short of beating the greatest team of all time. I'm okay with that. Everybody else should be. Obviously, I want them to win, but I don't feel the angst and the pressure that I have in previous years when they were in the playoffs or when they were you know, running strong. Even in the 90s, man, when they had, you know, the greatest weapon, you know, the NFL's greatest weapon in Randall Cunningham, and they had that amazing defense with Jerome Brown and Reggie White and all those guys. I there was expectations there. This year, it seemed like even when they were, you know, 12-1, right, people were still kind of like, eh, you know, their schedule was bad.
They haven't played anybody.
They didn't play anybody. Then they lost to Seattle or whatever. You know, I get it.
Yeah.
But, you know, they deserved credit, obviously. I mean, now they're in the Super Bowl. Nobody can take that away from them now. You can't look at them, but people still are. They're looking at this team and going,
Well, if Wentz was here.
Yeah, they're not really that good. You know, yeah, they blew out Minnesota. Minnesota suffered from, you know, a big letdown from their huge play, and they really shouldn't have gotten back past New Orleans, and maybe they weren't that good. And like all this, I'm hearing this stuff, and I'm like, guys, they dropped 38 on statistically the best defense in the NFL.
And it wasn't that close.
No.
Because they didn't really try in the fourth quarter.
And listen, you know, you forget. You people forget. Like, until, like, I don't know, maybe with 2 minutes left in that, or 3 minutes left in the second quarter, you know, it was a one touchdown game.
It was 14-7.
It was 14-7. It was close, and Minnesota had been driving, you know, but the turnovers cost
them. Strip sack. Listen, changed it all.
I like the fact that there's no pressure on them. I like the fact that Nick Foles is in there. I want them. I want the Patriots to think. I don't think they will, but I want them to think. It's Nick Foles. What's he going to do to us? You know. Yeah, they got a good defense, but, you know, we'll figure it out. We'll adjust. I want that kind of stuff to happen. I like the way the Super Bowl is shaping up, and I think there's a very strong possibility that they shock the world here.
There's a possibility. I mean, you know, you look at I was reading that Arthur Blank is upset, pissed, I think was the word that was used, that the Patriots Super Bowl ring from last year had 283 diamonds on it, 28-3. Yeah. And, you know, he doesn't like that rub. It's like, well, dude, you could have won the game, and they wouldn't have had that ring.
Yeah. I mean, that's the best way to shut them up is to beat them.
To beat them, right.
And they're beatable.
Right.
They've never been in a blowout Super Bowl.
Right, exactly. So, you know, my whole thing is that, you know, they're beatable, but they come back from everything. I don't want the Eagles to go up early. If they get up to 30, yeah, I would prefer that to a close
I'll
game.
I'll take 28-3.
Yeah, 28-3 would
I'll
be
fine. I'll
take
my chances with my
because
defense.
Because the thing about the Eagles is they're the best front running, the best team with a lead in the entire league over the course
right.
of the season.
Yeah.
If they're winning and that front four can just pin their ears back and rush, it's over.
It's over.
Because that's what happened in Minnesota. Once the game got to 28-7 and it became Vikings have to pass.
Yep. Over.
It was over. because Fletcher Cox and you know, they had Brandon a great line. Graham, those guys were just crashing in, not even worrying about the run.
Yep. I mean, sorry. Damn. Like a hiccup cough at the same time. That was weird.
It was a little bit...
Sorry. They have to put pressure on Brady. That's what this whole Super Bowl comes down to.
Up
that.
The middle. Middle up pressure.
Yep.
Because if you give Brady pressure from the outside, he steps up and makes his throw. If you pressure him up the middle and he has to go side to side,
not as good.
Right. So, you know, so what are you going to do? Okay, then you're going to double team the guys in the middle. Mm-hmm. That leaves one-on-one for Graham and Barnett or Long or whoever else.
Yep.
I like that scenario. I like those matchups on the line.
I do too.
Now, the problem you run into is Brady knows all this. Belichick knows all this.
Yep.
They've seen tape. They watched the Minnesota game. Mm-hmm. They watched every game the Eagles played this year.
Yes, they have.
So, you know, those backs, James White, right?
Gotta watch them.
You got Mo Lewis. Those guys, it's going to be dink and dunk time. And if those linebackers make any mistakes, it's a problem.
Yep.
That's the thing about this game is the Eagles cannot make any mistakes.
Yes. And you also have Gronk back.
You have Gronk back.
You know.
I'm sure they have a solution for him. Maybe it'll work.
Nobody else has been able to do it. So.
The Chiefs were able to do it.
Okay. That was week one, though.
Right. But, you know, that's a blueprint.
Sure.
And, you know, you say, okay, we're going to put Malcolm Jenkins over here, and we're going to put, you know, Najee Good, or we're going to have, you know, I don't know if Michael Kendricks has the speed to do that, but, you know, they're going to have a solution for him. You know, and like I said, maybe it'll work. You know, they better have plan B, C, and D as well.
They got to. And they can't – the other thing that the Eagles cannot do is take their foot off the pedal.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
If they get a lead – they can't go Andy Reid and try to protect it.
No, and I think Peterson knows that. I think he looks at Jacksonville and he looks at Jacksonville gave the game away, dude. You got a minute left and you kneel the ball down.
Yep. At halftime.
What kind of confidence does that give your team? What's that say about your confidence in your offense?
That's what Peterson said. They were like, "Why did you try to score?" And he was like, "I got time and timeouts. Why would I not try to score? Let's see what we can do."
You got a field goal out of it.
Time and time. And dude, it didn't turn out to be a big deal. But, I mean, at that point, that puts the game into three scores, and you get the ball at halftime.
Yeah.
Right? Because it was 21-7. They could have gone into halftime 21-7 and taken the ball back.
Right.
But then now it's three scores, and you get the ball.
24-7. Right.
So Minnesota's got a lot of work to do. And that's just, like, it's dejecting to go into the locker room and having just given up that field goal, too. For that defense.
10 points in the last, what, 3 minutes?
3 minutes. 2 minutes. Yeah. And change. Yeah. So that's huge. It's huge. I don't know. We'll see. I mean, you know, people are like, Nick Foles has to be on. I don't think he has to be that on. I just think I think he has to play like he did in the Atlanta game. Not make mistakes. Let the defense do their job.
Right. You can't turn the ball over.
Right.
Obviously. Now, one thing I'll be curious about, both of these teams are very analytical in where they go for it on fourth down and where they, you know, where they decide to punt. We all remember Belichick, you know, going for it on fourth and one against, I guess it was the Colts at that time with Peyton Manning, from his own, like, 32 or something like that. And his reasoning was, okay, I punt the ball, Manning's going to get right back to this spot in two plays anyway.
Right.
Why not try to lock the game down with a fourth down get? And he got all kinds of flack for that. Mm-hmm. But that's good analytical reasoning.
Mm-hmm.
So both of those teams are really deep into that, both the Eagles and the Patriots. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, how many fourth down tries there are. Actually, we should probably make that a prop bet.
We probably should. The other thing that I would love to see is how often the Patriots go no huddle. Because I think that would be the strategy to combat the Eagles' deep line, right, is to keep them on the field, right? Don't allow them to swap out, you know, their quote-unquote second stringers, even though they're not. They would start on most teams. Don't allow those guys to get any rest and just go no huddle, no huddle, no huddle. That's interesting. You know, I've heard that from several other people. I just don't know. I mean, it just doesn't seem like something that Belichick would do, like, long-term. It might be situational.
Right.
But I think that's something to watch out for, too.
I'm making the fourth down tries total over under 2.
Okay.
Yeah, because I don't want to just throw a number out there because you go 1, 2. I want to see over under. So anyway, actually, let's make it 1.5.
Okay. Are you just making this up?
Yeah, but it's easy enough to track. Okay, so I don't know if that's a prop bet or not, but it is for us.
Okay,
All right, so Liz Loso should be calling in any time now. Let's talk about what the Patriots need to do to win.
All right.
Defensively, you know, I don't know how many lessons, you know, because obviously we're not NFL coaches, but how many lessons can be learned from what the Vikings did 2 weeks ago with their, you know, stellar defensive backfield? They're obviously superior to the Patriots in most ways defensively.
This is the difficult thing that the Patriots have on defense. They're gonna go back and look at, you know, Nick Foles, like, you know, his game against the Giants and then his game against Oakland. But that's really all they have. The game against Atlanta, he played really well.
He played well enough, yeah.
Yeah, and obviously in the game against Minnesota, he played one of the best professional games of his career.
Right.
So there's not a lot to look at there. Because the Nick Foles that played the Giants is not the same guy now.
No, he's not.
He's evolved. The offense has evolved. So they really got one or two games that they can really look at. Carson Wentz is a completely different player. He's a completely different guy when you try to stop him. I mean, you know, you can get pressure on Wentz and he'll still pick up a first down.
Right. He'll roll out of it or he'll just take off running.
Yeah. So that's a different look. So you can't even go back and look at the Seattle game and what the Seattle did to shut down Wentz, right? You can't even really look at that game very seriously. It's a totally different offense. So this is a challenge for that Patriots defense. This is going to be interesting.
Yeah.
You know?
Also, you know, you look at, you know, obviously one of the big keys for the Eagles is to keep Brady on the sideline. So that means the running game is going to have to be shut down for the Patriots. So, you know, you look at, to me, the outlier here and the key is stopping Corey Clement, because here's a guy who comes in. He came in, I think, three times against Minnesota and got like 28 yards, three first downs.
Yep.
So being able to keep that guy in check, obviously it's a small part, but, you know, Belichick's one of those detail guys.
Yep.
So, you know, you say, okay, we've got to stop the run. Everybody wants to stop the run. Mm-hmm. But the way this offensive line has played for the Eagles, is it going to be feasible to say, okay, we're going to take away that running game and make Nick Foles beat us?
I mean, that's what they're going to try to do. The problem is it's a three-headed monster. Right? You have Blunt and Ajayi. Blunt is obviously, you know, north-south, punching in the mouth. It's a a dude who's actually a Patriots fan. Told me the other day, he was like, dude, this is why we miss LeGarrette Blunt. He was like, that's a grown-ass man running that ball.
That's a grown-ass man.
When he scored that touchdown from the 11, that's a grown-ass man.
Dude, he just rolled over.
Sedejo? Yeah, man. he just mauled him. And then you have Ajayi, who's got plenty of power. But
he's a one-cut guy.
But he's got good moves, too. And then you have Corey Clement, who apparently you can't tackle
right
in the open field. Like, you know, I think all three of those first downs, he was behind the line and had somebody next to him.
He was
behind the first down marker.
Right. Yeah.
And ended up getting the first down. One of them, he was like 3 yards short. All the corner had to do was tackle him. But yeah, it barely touched him. So, and let's not forget, the Eagles also might run a little trickery and get Nelson Aguilar the football in a little bit of space. So
yeah, I kind of like the sound of that.
Yeah, it's going to be challenging for them to stop that. But that's the key for the Patriots. They have to stop that run.
And then you have to worry about stopping the wide receivers and tight ends of the Eagles.
Yeah, making Nick Foles beat you might not work out for you too well.
That could be a little bit tricky. Liz Losa is on the line, I believe.
Let's see
if Liz is ready to chat. Liz, what's up?
Hey, guys.
How's it going, Liz?
Hi, how are you?
We are on cloud nine.
We're doing well. We're apprehensive but happy.
You should be. I mean, I just got back from Minneapolis last night, and the feeling amongst Eagles, first of all, the Eagles fans well outnumber the Patriots fans, which isn't particularly surprising, considering that the Patriots were here just a year ago and did not have to travel to a cold weather city to see their team win a Super Bowl, less than a year ago.
Right.
The Eagles fans were pumped, though. And you know what was interesting, though? The Minnesota fans and the Eagles fans are getting into it constantly.
Oh, like, really?
The skulls and then the booing. And I'm like, you guys, this is not, the Patriots are winning here. This is not the enemy. The enemy is New England. Stop fighting each other. Be NFC brethren and focus on the AFC. It was
That's the Eagles, though.
I tagged you guys in this piece. I went to the Mall of America to kind of do one of those, like, which fan base is better sort of pieces. And I interviewed these Eagles guys, and they were, like, typical Philly bros with screaming the, you know, chanting the E-A-G-L-E-S chant. Mm-hmm. And this older Minnesotan fan was like, oh, were you one of the ones who threw beer at my nephew? And they were like, well, was he the guy that put the Viking t-shirt on the Rocky statue? And I was like, guys. And he was like, no, he's just an army vet. And I was like, oh, Christ, here we go. So I walked away and let them scrap it out.
You know, here's the thing. JJ actually brought this up, talking about fans and stuff. He's like, really, guys? Because, like, I'm a fan of Arsenal. You just see those people. Like, you think Philly fans are bad? Mm-hmm. Go watch a soccer game in the UK.
Yeah, talk to me about a football hooligan.
He's like, I kind of feel at home in Philly, but, you know, hey, these guys over here are crazy. So I get it, man. The Minnesotans seem like nice people. And, I watched a newscast about this whole thing, and they were like, oh, we went down there to have a heckin' good time, and these guys were mean to us. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's like, sorry. I don't know what you expected.
They were calling us a word that means a body part that we're not appreciating.
Yeah.
You know.
So, yeah, I mean, you're going to get a lot of that, you know, I'm sorry. And it's not just the Eagles. I mean, you know, there are plenty of teams that are like that. This is what it's like to have a passionate fan base that's desperate for a championship.
Right. You want to see...
Well, you can be a passionate fan base without being a jerk.
You absolutely can.
I also want to go to games where, like, I can take my kids and not feel scared or threatened.
I totally agree. And you can do that in an Eagles game. 100%. It's not like that. It really isn't. They highlight it, and they've been doing it ever since. They still talk about the snowball fight with Santa Claus, where everybody pelted. That happened in the 60s, and people still bring it up. Right? It happened before I was born.
Yeah.
And people still talk about it. That's Philly fans. All those people are either old or dead.
Yeah.
And you're still talking about it. It's not like that. There were a few incidents the other day. There were. Right? And they're totally unacceptable. But for the most part, it was fine. Kevin and I were at the game. I didn't see one fight.
No, I didn't see one fight. I did see one beer, like a tall boy can.
I saw that too.
Fly through the air. And we were like, what the hell is that all about?
Yeah.
You know, but that was it. We didn't see anybody at the receiving end of it.
Just a little jawing back and forth, you know. But, I mean, nothing... I've been to Dallas games that were worse than that Minnesota game. Yeah. Way worse.
Now, we did notice that, you know, some Vikings fans would walk through and people be, you know, chanting, a-ho.
Right.
But we did notice there were a couple of very large Viking fans that nobody said a word to.
They didn't say a thing to those guys.
The guy was like 6'4", 300. People were just like, oh, there's that large dude. Let's give him a wide path. Yeah, so, you know.
Not talk him.
Yeah, let's not give him any issues. All right, so I know you have a tight schedule there, Liz, so we have some prop bets to roll through and some actual bets to roll through. So, you know, we apologize to anybody who finds us boring, but this is what we do, so let's do it. So we have the Philadelphia Eagles are the away team, so they're at New England. New England is giving 4.5 points to the Eagles, and that's as of an hour ago. So the line opened at 5.5, but so much betting has been happening on the Eagles that the line went down to 4.5.
You know, I saw a stat that $4.8 billion are wagered on the Super Bowl, and only like 3% of it happens in Vegas.
Yeah, oh yeah,
yeah.
It's all on online sites and, you know, down at the corner with Vinny or whatever. So, so I'm going to go ahead and take the lead here. I'm going to pick Philly. I'm sorry, the over-under also is 48.5. So I'm going to take Philadelphia here, and I'm not saying I think they're going to win per se, but I think if they do lose, it's going to be a 3 or 4 point loss, because that's just how the Patriots win Super Bowls. They don't have blowouts. They have, you know, kicks at the end of the game to win it, so or touchdowns in whatever case. So I'm going to take Philadelphia and the over.
What was the over-under?
Over-under is 48.5.
Got it.
So, Liz, you're up.
Yeah. So, I was taking Philly when the line opened, as you mentioned, at 5.5. But this makes me a little bit more nervous. And I think it's because, well, I know it's because everyone's been betting on Philly because they thought that was a generous line and the Eagles could cover. So, I'm actually going to take the Pats in the over.
The Pats in the over. I like that. You know why? The last time you bet against our team, they took the dub. So you go right head on.
And you get on me for being
you
superstitious.
You know who I'm rooting for real, though. So.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Eagles, and I'll take the under.
Wait, hang on, Liz. Which story is better?
You know? Is the Patriots story better? Six rings?
No, the Eagles winning their first ever Super Bowl after crushing Minnesota is definitely the better narrative.
All right. Okay, just checking.
At least we have that going for us.
So who's your pick, Lyle?
I'm going Eagles, but I'm going to go the under. I think it's going to be a little bit closer. It's going to be more like the Atlanta Falcons game, the Eagles-Atlanta Falcons game this year in the playoffs than the Minnesota game.
Gotcha. So, national anthem being sung by Pink this year. We have three questions around this national anthem. First of all, the over-under on time is 2 minutes. Liz, you have the over or the under?
The under.
Lyle?
It's Pink.
Pink singing it. It's over-under 2 minutes.
I think I got to go under two.
I'm going to go over. Now, the question is, Pink's hair color when she sings the national anthem. Lyle?
Purple.
Purple. You know what? I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I'm going to say she goes green.
Ooh, I like that.
Liz, what do you got?
I think she stays blonde.
I think it would be purple just because she's in Minnesota, you know?
I think she goes green because she's an Eagles fan.
Is she an Eagles fan?
So the question is, will Pink say the word Eagles on the microphone before or after, or hell, during the national anthem? Lyle?
I'm going to go with after.
You say yes, she will say something.
I think she
though.
Says something, yes.
Okay. I'm also going to say she
she's
says
from
something.
Philly?
I don't know if she's from Philly, but when she tweeted out that she's singing the national anthem at the Super Bowl and the Eagles are in it, you know, is this the real life? Can it get any better? So apparently she's an Eagles fan. So will she say the word Eagles?
I think she'll finish up and then say, go Eagles.
Okay, so we all say yes. What is Belichick's shirt color at kickoff?
She was born in Doylestown, Pennsylvania.
Oh, was she
really?
Of course
she's a freaking Eagles fan.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow, that's right in the heart. Okay, sorry.
So Belichick's shirt color at kickoff. I'm going to go blue. Liz?
Gray.
Yeah.
Gray?
Yeah, I'm going gray, too.
All right. All right, so then we have the coin toss. Is the coin toss going to be heads or tails, Liz?
Tails.
Tails. Lyle?
No, it's you.
No, dude, it's... I have it here. Liz,
right,
then
fine.
You, then me.
Fine. I'm going to go heads.
I am also going heads. Which team will win the coin toss? Lyle?
The Philadelphia Football Eagles.
Philly Eagles. I'm going to say New England takes it. And Liz?
The Eagles.
PHI. All right. So, which team is going to be the first to score? I think the Philadelphia Eagles are going to be the first to score. Liz?
I think the Eagles as well.
Nice.
Patriots.
Of course,
Eagles are going to win the toss. They're going to defer. Pats are going to drive and kick a field goal.
Will the team that scores first win the game?
Negative.
Actually, it's not your go, but I'll take that. All right. Liz, team to score first wins?
No.
No?
No.
I'm taking yes. Yeah, she did take New England, so she kind of has to take that. Total team points. Total team points.
What is that?
This should be total score added up.
That's the over under.
Yeah.
So we're saying like 50, 51 if we took the over? Like.
Right.
Okay.
So, Liz, you're up first.
Okay, so 49.
Okay. Lyle?
35.
35. I'm going to say, let's see. Let's see. Trying to do some math in my head. It's not good. So let's see. Let's try 52. Highest scoring total. 1, 2, 3, 4. That's both teams together added up.
Mm-hmm.
Highest scoring quarter. Lyle, you're up.
Oh, jeez. Let's go with the fourth.
Okay. I'm going to take the second.
Yeah, I was thinking that too.
Liz?
Third
quarter? Okay, total field goals made in the entire game. I'm going to go with 3. Liz?
Total field goals made 2-1. I'm going to go with 5.
Wow.
2.
Okay, will there be a missed extra point in the game, Liz?
No.
Wow.
Yes. It'd probably be the Eagles.
I'm going to say no as well. 2-point conversion made, Lyle?
No.
I'll say yes just to be the outlier. Liz?
No.
When you remember Brady converted 2 of them last year.
And this is one we just added, Liz. 4th down tries, total both teams over under 1.5. I'm going to say over. Yeah.
I'm going over too.
So we're all going over?
Yeah, I don't even know why we added that then.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy. Although somebody would pick under. Maybe 1.5 isn't enough. Maybe it should be 2.5. Yeah. Will there be a defensive or special teams touchdown, Liz?
Heck yeah.
Bye.
Yeah.
Really? You think there's going to be a defensive?
Yeah, I think there's going to be a strip sack for a touchdown, baby.
Oh, that would be fantastic. If
Chris Long off the edge.
Deion Lewis. I think it's Deion Lewis that fumbles and gets something returned. Or, here's my other thought, you're not going to like this one. Belichick knows how LeGarrette Blount fumbles, and he's going to tell his guys how to punch it out Blount style. So if Blount gets the ball, I feel like he might also cough it up to the pass for a score.
Okay. Which player scores the first TD, Lyle? Yeah, you're right. I didn't like it, Liz.
Which player
scores the first touchdown?
Can I pick a quarterback?
You can pick anybody you like.
I'm not. I'm going to go with LeGarrette Blount.
LeGarrette Blount.
Oh.
I am going to take... I'm going to take Zach Ertz.
That's a good one.
Actually, Lyle, you said the first team to score is going to be New England, then you took LeGarrette Blount.
Score equals field goal. I said they were going to drive the field and kick a field goal.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, so Liz, who's your first touchdown scorer?
First touchdown scorer, I think, is going to be... What did I say? I said the Pats were going to score the first?
Yes.
Or did I say,
no,
I said
you said the Eagles.
I said the Eagles. I think that... I really like Ertz, but I don't want to repeat that. I don't think LeGarrette Blount is going to score, so I'm going to go with Elshon, who is the most boring human being on the planet, Jeffrey.
You don't like the interviews?
Oh my gosh, he was horrible, and as a Bears fan, I was crushed at how awful he was.
Well, he did say some things, like, you know, he said that you know, the Eagles are going to be bringing the Lombardi home to Philly. I mean, you know, he's making some bold statements. I don't know.
He is, but my personal interaction with him was just very...
Was it lame?
I mean, sidebar, I was literally like, hey, your soft tissue isn't good enough to be this boring, so you better figure out some Jalen Mills or Jay Ajayi swag to keep us interested.
I'm fine with whatever he does as long as he catches some touchdowns on Sunday.
I don't care how boring he is as long as he gets into the end zone.
He can go up there and not talk at all.
Exactly. So will there be an overtime?
The first touchdown of the game, though.
All right.
Okay, fair enough. Overtime, Lyle.
No.
I don't see it either. You see overtime, Liz?
That would be awesome. I'm going to go with yes.
Ooh.
Okay.
I don't know if I can handle that.
Okay.
I might just have a heart attack right then and there.
By the way, you coming over?
Yeah.
All right. I didn't know if you were going to stay
home. I'm not breaking tradition, man.
You can't. Okay, so here's a good one I saw today. Which will be highest? The total first quarter points or the temperature outside in Minneapolis at kickoff?
Who's first?
You can go ahead, Lyle.
I got to go with the score.
You got to go points?
Yeah,
I'm going to have to go temperature.
But I didn't even look.
Oh, it's points for sure. It's 8 degrees there right now.
Oh, is it really? Well, hell.
Nice.
Probably should have looked at a forecast before I chose. All right, so the color liquid poured on the coach.
Oh.
That's going to be me, I guess. I'm just going to go with pure old plain clear water. Liz?
Well, if I can get a little bit of love back from you, I have to imagine if I'm wrong on everything else and the Eagles do win, they have to dunk Peterson in green Gatorade. So I'm going to go with green.
Fair enough.
Dang it. I was going to do that. I wish silver was a color. I don't know. Let's go blue.
Blue?
Yeah.
Okay. MVP of this game, Liz.
Tom Brady.
Oh, that's right. You are picking New England to win. Lyle?
This is tough. This is actually tough. This is really difficult.
Fletcher Cox.
Damn it, Liz. That's who I have.
I was thinking defense, too. But I'm actually not going to do that. I'm going to go with Nicky Foles.
Wow.
Ugh. If he plays like he did against Minnesota, he's a lock.
Yeah, I know.
He's a lock.
I'm going with Fletcher Cox. I think he's going to have three sacks and just be a force to be reckoned with.
I sure hope he is, pal.
So that narrows it down. We're done.
Nice.
Liz, I got to tell you, this has been the longest week of my life. I've looked forward to vacations, and I had 2 weeks off when I was going to a beach to drink, and the week before that was a lot shorter than this. I've been just, you know, oh, it's only Tuesday. Oh my God. Now here it is Friday. Tomorrow's going to be brutal, and Sunday during the day, dude, we got to play PUBG again all day long.
On Sunday, yeah.
So I know you don't really have any skin in the game, Liz, but I hope you're cheering for the birds all the way.
Of course I'm cheering for the Eagles. I want them to win. I spoke to all the Eagles fans and told them I was on their side. But, you know, if I didn't come on this show and give the other perspective, we wouldn't be delivering the unbiased content. So I really don't want to see the Patriots win again. And I just, oh God, you guys are so buttoned up. They're so rehearsed. It's really...
The Patriots are?
The Eagles. No, I mean, the Patriots. The Patriots on media night were so... They're like tiny robots. Tiny, tiny robots. The only one who was remotely interesting was like the second string DB because he probably doesn't fear for his job because he's not going to see the field. And otherwise... You know what? I do want to say Frank Reich. I thought you guys would appreciate this because this is not something we got to talk about before and I've been so busy I didn't have a chance to text you guys, but Frank Reich is honestly such a nice, down-to-earth guy who clearly loves his job but can also communicate with human beings. Like, right. He's just such a, like grandpa kind of. I don't know if he's old enough to be a grandpa, but he's in that space that he's, like, older than a dad but maybe has kids in his 20s, I'm guessing. So he's like early 20s, 19 sort of. So he has nothing but effusive things to say about his players. Like I asked him about Darren Sproles and he was like, oh, that guy, we went after him. Cause I knew that he, you know, had particularly targeted Darren Sproles and like, he had amazingly nice things to say. He was so communicative, so willing to answer every question. And when you're like a coordinator, it was just such contrast to what Daniels and Patricia and all of the Patriots coaches felt. I mean, Josh Daniels is feeling himself a little bit, you could tell, but because he's about to leave. But otherwise, the personalities on the Philly side of things, from the fans to the players to the coaches, completely warmed my heart. And excellent. I really hope you guys pull it off and stick it to New England.
This just in, Liz, Frank Reich is a year and a half older than I am.
Grandpa. That is brilliant.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Any hole that I thought I had dug myself out of, just buried myself back in.
Right back in, Liz.
Wow. He's like
you
a
girl. You have like 20-year-old kids. You have like 20-year-old kids.
So do I.
Yeah, I have a going to be 20, going to be 16.
My oldest turned 21 yesterday.
Like I said, in that 19, not quite a grandpa, in that in-between space.
There you go. See, the funny thing is, Lyle, grandpa. Kevin,
I am a grandpa.
Not.
Yeah.
Yet I have years, decade or more on Lyle.
Yeah, 13.
It's weird. Anyway, Liz, thank you so much for calling in on your busy Friday. And are you going to a Super Bowl party Sunday?
I am. I got a babysitter. I don't have to work because I did all my work earlier in the week. So I am just going to completely enjoy some onion dip, some beer, and hopefully an amazing game that the Eagles pull off in incredible fashion.
Oh, man.
I'd love it.
Oh, man.
Ah, man. You'll be getting texts from us, to be sure.
Yeah.
We anticipate texts from you.
You know what, guys? Like, I do not envy the position you're in from an adrenal point of view. Like, your adrenals must be shot. I can't imagine the anxiety. The amount of times you pooped in a day must be record-breaking
point. It's pretty bad.
I'm sitting on the toilet right now, Liz.
We moved the whole rig into Kevin's bathroom. We're just taking turns.
Yeah, and I wasn't really jazzed up today until you just said that. So,
yeah, I've been trying to kind of ignore it.
Eh, it can't. I can't. Yeah,
well, I mean, I was working all week in New York, you know, so I just kind of tried to shut it out.
Yeah, I've tried to immerse myself in work too, but it keeps coming back at me, man. Like, yeah, I'll get a tweet notice, and it's like, you know, 24/7 sports talking about Doug Peterson, and it's
hard
like,
to believe. It's hard to believe, man.
Yeah,
it's hard to believe.
All right, Liz. We'll talk to you. We'll talk to you.
Real quick, though, do you have any rituals that you're going to do before the game? Is there any superstitions that you're putting into play?
So this is really funny because I'm the least superstitious person on the planet. I'm a skeptic about it. I don't believe in anything. Right? You need to show me hard data. But when it comes to the Eagles, like, I'm ridiculous. So when Wentz got hurt, I hung my Wentz jersey up, and it hasn't moved from the spot I hung it up, and now I wear Brian Dawkins jerseys during the games, and I will not touch that jersey, and I will definitely be wearing my Brian Dawkins jersey come game time. Now, I almost threw that Wentz jersey on today and came over here because I was like, yo, let's, you know, give Carson another nod because he got us here, right? But then I thought, dude, what are you doing? Like, you don't touch that jersey.
Yeah,
I mean, I took it off the moment he got hurt. When they carted him, when he walked off the field, I took it off. So I'm like, yeah, I'm not messing with anything. So yes, that's what I will do.
It's like Kevin Costner said in Bull Durham. If you think you're having this winning streak because you're wearing a Wentz jersey or not wearing a Wentz jersey, it's true. It's because that's why it's happening. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
As long as you think that. It's a matter of your comfort. It doesn't matter if the team doesn't care whether or not you have a Wentz jersey hung up. It's for your own peace of mind.
That's right.
Yeah, I have no rituals.
Yeah.
I'm ritual free.
Nothing for you?
I don't really believe in jinxing things now. You know, I think that, you know, me saying something about me doing something can jinx my state of mind, but I've never been one to think that anything I did or said or whatever changed the outcome of a game or anything like that.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't either, but
Why chance it?
I'm not messing with it, right? I'm not rolling the dice.
Now, that being said, the shirt that I wore to the
NFC
Championship game is definitely going to be on my body on Sunday.
Nice.
And I also have a new shirt. So if the halftime score isn't to my liking, I'm going to change my shirt.
Sounds good.
Even though I don't believe in any of that garbage.
You're going to make adjustments. You're going to make adjustments just like Belichick.
You're going to have to make halftime adjustments just like Peterson. Anyway.
Okay. All right, guys. Have a great one. Text me. I'm going to be around. I'm rooting for you. Thanks for having me on, and I hope that you continue to like me regardless of the score.
We're going to love you regardless.
Yeah, no worries, man.
Thank you, guys.
I'll even come on your show next week.
Well, that's amazing. I'm so excited. we'll have to, you know, pad the time depending on the outcome, but regardless, fly, Eagles, fly.
Indeed. Thanks a lot, Liz. Talk to you next week.
All right, bye, guys.
Bye. There goes Liz Losa, awesome. Yahoo Fantasy Sports.
Hey, man, it doesn't get much better than this, Kevin. We are...
That's right.
We're going to watch the Eagles in the Super Bowl.
I know.
It's only the second time that Kevin and I have been able to do this. Now, the third for Kevin, but I don't remember the first one.
I was four or five.
Yeah.
So did we watch the first one together?
Yeah, I was in your living room.
You were here.
Yep. Upstairs.
Yeah, the first Eagles Super Bowl in 1981, or 1980, I was just in my house watching it on 4:3 TV.
Right.
And we were happy to have it.
Yeah, well, I bet.
And, the Eagles were the first team to lose to a wild card entrance into the playoffs. Thanks, Eagles. Appreciate that. All right, we're out. Enjoy your Super Bowl Sunday. We'll be back maybe next Wednesday, depending on where Lyle is. Yeah. Anyway, enjoy. We'll see you. Have fun. Bye.
See ya.